Chapter 23. Here we're going to see, we'll call it part three of the history of the nation in Yahazkel's perspective. We saw in chapter 16, as well as chapter 20, a development of the sins of the nations. So we saw them from Egypt going through the desert, and now this part is actually going to deal with, once the nation actually reached Israel, what the problem was. And the problem would have become a political sin of alliances to the nation. So we'll have a metaphor of two sisters, Ahola and Ahliba, referencing the two parts of the nation, B'nai Israel, that sinned upon their arrival in Israel. So the main theme, the main problem that Yahazkel is attacking is that the nation pursued alliances with the foreign nations, despite the fact that they were commanded not to, and despite the fact that their alliance wasn't worthy. And the claim of Yahazkel is that you pursued an alliance with people who are undeserving of your alliance, and the punishment to that will simply be that the alliance will actually backfire on you. So you're putting your trust in the nation that's going to eventually turn on you. It reminds us a lot of chapter 16, particularly towards the end, where we had the section that dealt with Sodom and the Shomron. So we see that again over here as we deal with Shomron as well. Again, the basic idea is there's a metaphor of two siblings. The older one, while representing Shomron, sins first. The younger one, now observing this, could have learned a lesson, but instead followed the lead and did it even to a further extreme, leading to their demise. So the point being that if you saw northern Israel already destroyed, but you followed in their ways and did it to an even worse extreme, you're going to be subject to at least the same fate, if not worse. And again, in regards to foreign alliances, specifically those related to war and battle, a lot of the prophets tend to be somewhat pacifistic. So that's what we see here. And we'll see even a mention of, you know, the concept of going back to Egypt is, especially for an alliance, sending you back to square one is something we see explicitly commanded that they're not allowed to do. So we're going to see the beginning of the chapter is going to simply introduce the characters to us. We're going to then see Samaria's crime with Ashur. Then the next sister is crime with both Babylon and Ashur, same as Samaria, but even more, followed by the punishment that they are deserving of, and then a collective further indictment of both parties in their activity. So it's quite a lengthy chapter. We'll break it up. We'll first read till Pasuk 22, and then continue from there afterwards. The word of God is upon me, saying, Ben Adam, Shatayim Nashim, there are two women, Benot Emechat Hayu, that are the daughters of one mother. They have the same origins, came to Israel united as one. And now, even back in the day, from the beginning, they committed harlotry already in Egypt in their youth. Shama mo'achusha dehem, and there their breasts were pressed. The Shem Isu Dade Betulahim, and there the breast of their youth, of their virginity, was violated. So already from the early stages, the metaphor of the daughters subjecting themselves to abuse. Ushmatana, the name of these daughters is Ahola Hagidola Vahaliba Ahota. The older one is Ahola and the younger one is Ahota, and some commentaries try to draw parallels to the word Ohel over here. Vatiyan Ali, and they were to me. Both of them were to me, to God, Vatiladna Banim Banot, and they begin to bear kids, they give birth to both men and women. Ushmotan, and their names of the kids, Shomron Ahola Virushalayim Aholiba. So Shomron Ahola offspring is the section of Shomron in Israel, Virushalayim Aholiba, and Aholiba's offspring is the section of Jerusalem, the more southern area of Israel. So we have here two siblings that started off as a unit. The early reference to their activity in Mitzrayim is It's not necessarily an accusation of a crime, but simply displaying inappropriate behavior of illustrating their character to what will eventually come. And we see already the split, however, start quite early in Shofetim, and then definitely clearly really breaks Deborah's Shira. We can see already that the Ephraim and Yehuda are somewhat split, but then through Melachim we see a further break up. So the sisters left Egypt, married in the desert to God, have offspring, which is their places in Israel, and now what happens? Pasuke. Batizin Ahola Tachtai. So first the older sister Ahola starts to act as a harlot under their relationship with God, either instead of God or under the relationship. Vatagav al me'ahaveha el ashur kerubim. And she doted towards her lovers to ashur the kerubim. The word kerubim here could refer to the concept of krav, a war, so warriors, or kerubim, their local neighbors. So this is really where the real sin begins, that once they establish themselves, establish a kingdom in Israel, they then, ally themselves with other nations, contrary to God's wishes. So that's why this chapter, contrary to 16 and 20, which dated back the history of the nation to an earlier state here, we're focusing on the political sin of the nation, which only starts once they're in Israel. And we first observe the sin in Melachim Bet, I guess as early as Perek Tedvav, where the king Menachem, who the Navi labels him as a bad king, pays fool, the king of Ashur, to back off, and that's offers taxes and allegiance to. So that's the beginning, at least, of that. Levushet techelet pachot uzganim bahure hamed kulam parashim rochavesusim. They're clothed in blue. The word pachot here is used as it is in Esther, referring to political officials, governors, uzganim, rulers. And they're all bahure hamed kulam. They're all attractive. Young people, parashim, rocheve susim, horsemen riding horses. Ahola is quickly intrigued by the superficial, attractive appeal of the nation of Ashur. But titen taznuteh alehem, and instantly she offers herself up to them. M'har b'nei Ashur kulam. To the choicest men of Ashur, and she starts flying after everything, pursuing everything, all the idols and worship that they have, she defies herself with. So we have instantly an overt, desperate activity from Bnei Yisrael, and that's going to subject themselves to be taken advantage of. Ashur is going to see that the alliance is out of despair and be able to take advantage of it. And her original ways, her original character that we already saw in Egypt, she didn't abandon, she continued in those ways. She didn't change through her time in the desert, despite God's effort is trying to have a transition phase in the desert. Because she slept with them when she was younger. And abused her. And spilled forth their lust upon her. So the same activity she was doing in Mitzrayim, she's doing down. So because of that activity, I actually say, fine, you want an alliance with Ashur? You want to put your loyalty towards Ashur, your trust towards Ashur? Fine. So I put them in the hands of her lover, in the hands of Ashur, that she was doting after, that she was following for. So that's what she deserved. You want an alliance with Ashur? You have it. And what ends up happening is that because they're subjected to Ashur, Ashur takes advantage of them, and that's where we see their Sanhedrin splitting up the nation. Another way to explain the Zinu towards Mitzrayim is actually after their alliance with Ashur. We do see in Melachim Bet Perek Yud Zayin, Hoshea, who's also considered a bad king, actually sends an allegiance to Egypt. to Saul, the king of Egypt, and Shalmaneser is the king of Ashur, then sees this betrayal. So God says again, you get to betray your own alliances the same way you've betrayed me. I'm gonna let you be subject to the fate, that fate of whoever you betrayed, taking you up to task. And therefore, Ashur is going to chase you because you turned on them. Ashur and Egypt, we know, were opposing each other, and Israel is right in the middle. So their flip-flopping allegiances is going to be a big factor in how they're treated by the other nation. Pasuk Yud. Hema gilu erevata. Now, Ashur reveals their exposes them. Banei avnotel hakachav, they take their kids. Vota b'chayiv haragu, and the city itself they killed everyone. Vatihi shem lanashim, and there became a reputation amongst women shvutim asuba, and they made judgments among them. The shem, the reputation here, they became fabled, they became known, they were talked about. And the point being that because they were made known. For the younger sister, he should have realized that why it was happening to them and not done it. But they don't in fact do this. And again, we see now in Pasuk Yud the three-pronged destruction. Right, part one. Again, the theme of three stages of sin of exile happening starts already from Ahuda. So now her sister, Aholiba, the younger one, sees Yehuda, who out survives Shomron, sees all this. And instead of realizing and doing the opposite of what they did, what they had done to a further extreme. So they should be, she became even worse, and further pursued these lines. It says, and her zinut, her harlotry, was even worse than her sister's harlotry. And we do see this, again, referring back to Melachim, where we have Ahaz, the king of Yehuda, who in Perek Tet Zayin is said to have, again, followed the leads of the kings of Israel, the Pasuk says, as he sends allegiance to Tiglat Pileser to help him in a battle against Aram. And he actually steals from the temple to do so, so their allegiance to a foreign nation is inversely correlated to their allegiance to God, and the more they pursue that, the less they're allied with God. So Pasuk Yud Bet. El Bnei Ashur Agava. So first, they turned their allegiance to the king of to the people of Ashur. Tachod Ganim Kerovim Uvushem Echlol. Again, the officials, the governors, rulers of the either close or warriors that were clothed in very nicely, parashim rochbei susim, horsemen riding horses, bachorei hamid kulam, again, attractive young people. Again, there's an appeal to, a seemingly superficial appeal to ally with Ashuru's growing power. Va'eda kinitma, now I see that she becomes tameh, she becomes defiled. Derech hadlish to him, she's following her sister's way, following the same path that her siblings followed. And she furthers this. Furthermore, it's not enough to just copy what Aholad did and to pursue Ashur. She sees people engraved on the wall, and this should remind us of what we saw earlier in the Perek Het Pasuk Yud, where we saw in the Mikdash area there were images engraved on the wall. Samech Hasdim, the portraits of the Hasdi nation, Hakukim Bashashar, are engraved upon, let's say, in bright color. So again, just simple images now are becoming attracted to them, clearly only following the surface. Hagore ezor b'mon nehem, right, their loins are girded, ready to go. Siduhat yulim b'rashahem, and they have pendant turbans on their heads. Shalishim kulam, they all appear to be strong warriors, right? The word shalishim we saw in the Yitziat Mitzrayim, where Paro in Parashat Bishalach, Perek Yudalet of Shemot, where Paro takes warriors, it says v'shalishim al kulosi. These are the highest officials, these are the captains, the leaders of the people, of the warriors. Demut bnei Bavel kasdim eretz molatam. So now they have the appearance of Bavel, which is the place of their born. So the nation now furthers their crime in not just pursuing allegiance with Ashur, like Shyamalan did, but furthering it, the crime to pursuing an allegiance with Babel. And she starts pursuing them simply based on what she sees. And she sends messengers out to them in Kasdim, towards Kasdim. And now Babylon sees their exposure and takes advantage of this and comes and beds them and defiles them. And she becomes defiled by them. Then the word Vateka should remind us of the Yaakov when he was fighting the men. So his over there, it's a movement, but more of an alienation out of normal place. So you became very removed from this experience because of this experience. And this aligns with Babel we see as early as Hezekiah, where he invites the people of Babel in, right? That's for the Shalach Malachim Alehem. He sends out people towards them to invite them in, and they come in to visit Hezekiah's palace and shows them everything. And Yeshayah's response is that you've exposed yourself to that, and whatever you showed them, they're going to take advantage of, and they're going to take from you. And that's exactly what Yahazkel is referring to here as well. And she uncovers her lustful ways and uncovers her, exposed her body. Now, they became removed, but now my soul became removed from them, God is saying. The same way I was alienated from her older sister, I became alienated from them. So God is saying, I can't even help them at this point. My relationship with them is so removed that I can't even help them at this point. I just become so alienated by their activity. But despite all this, she keeps doing it. To remind her of you, she wants to go back to the way she was doing them in Mitzrayim. She wants to remember her freedom, her free ways, despite the unfulfilling activity, but she wants that freedom that she had when she was younger. And the reference here, we already saw once, the second time we're seeing the reference to Mitzrayim, to going back to Mitzrayim, undoing, sort of rewinding their whole development of relationship with God and retracting everything that united them. And she further pursues relationships, not even now with, before we were talking maybe superpowers, Ashur and Bavel, but now even Pilakshim, who are less worthy, that Besar Hamurim Besaram, their flesh is that of donkeys, Zirmatsusim Zirmatam, and their issue is that of horses. So, originally, maybe you could say Babel and Ashur could have been somewhat appealing alliances, but then ultimately they end up falling into the flip-flopping between even smaller nations around and devoting their allegiance inappropriately so. So they're pursuing relationships with quite undeserving figures. And you bring back to memory the lewd activity that you performed in your youth, when you bruised your breast in Egypt back in the day, resulting in being defiled by them. So the return to Mitzrayim that you so greatly want is not necessarily good, and what was happening in Mitzrayim is not good, but again, God is ringing the bell that their activity now is really returning them to a state where they didn't have any relationship with God. And the result of that we're going to see in the next section of the chapter.